Hi, you're listening to the Full Life Podcast with Melanie Lynham.
Being broken before, after everything I've been through in my marriage, was so different because I'd come to God during my marriage and known that everything that I'd done before was before I had God's grace and before I knew His love. But this time, I'd gone into sin knowing that He loved me and that I'd given myself to Him. So I went into a big depression and I couldn't forgive myself for hurting Jesus all over again.
A party girl in her 20s falls head over heels in love with a charming man, a scary accident, a miracle healing, a broken marriage. Meet my dear friend Naomi, a single mom of three, a godly woman, a parent helper in her children's school, a student mentor, a volunteer at church. This woman is beautiful on the inside and the outside, but life has not been a walk in the park for her. Naomi's story is one of a prodigal daughter, returning to her heavenly father and being received with loving arms again and again. Sin is sin. Sometimes it's done in the secret, and sometimes our shame is out there for all to see. Naomi and I talk about how we are so, so thankful that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and that every time we mess up, He is waiting for us, ready to forgive and restore us. So enjoy this conversation with Naomi Taylor. Naomi, thank you so much for joining us on the Full Life Podcast.
Thanks, Mel, for having me.
How about we start by you telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name's Naomi. I'm a single mum of three. I have a beautiful daughter who is 9, a son who is 6, and another little boy who just turned 3. So, yeah, that's basically what keeps me busy. It's my three kids.
So busy. Mm-hmm. And I have a 9-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son too. So we're kind of matching.
Definitely.
With the age groups of our children.
In common.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so what's something fun that you like to do with your kids?
Our favorite place to go is the beach.
Yeah.
And just pack as much stuff as we can to be there for as long as we can, depending on the weather and everybody's mood.
Do you have a favorite beach?
We like Makula normally.
Or whichever. Yeah.
We used to frequent North Shore because my little one didn't like the waves, but he's much braver now.
Yeah.
But we also discovered Picnic Point recently. So
wait, where's Picnic cool Point? Place.
Just around the corner from Chambers Island. So it's kind of on the river.
Maruchiro River.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice and calm.
Yeah, lovely.
Not as busy.
Our go-to place is Malula Spit.
Okay.
Yeah, we find that it's got a little bit of waves usually, but it's like more calm.
Good mix.
Yeah. I'm a wuss though. I hate the waves.
I actually grew up surfing and bodyboarding on the Sunshine Coast when I was a teenager. Yeah. So
you love the waves.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's my sister. She's a surfer all the way. I'm too scared. If you can get hurt doing a sport, I will. That's me. And so what's something fun that you like to do when you're not with your kids?
Oh, that's a good question. I like to play the guitar or try to play the guitar.
Yeah.
And sing. Yeah, that kind of is my chill zone.
How long have you played the guitar for?
Not very long.
Really?
Well, I say not very long. I started learning when I was pregnant with Judah. So
yeah.
3.5 years.
Did you? Are you self-taught?
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah. I have had a guitar for 10 years, but I never really learnt it until I was,
What inspired you to start learning guitar when you were pregnant with Judah?
Wanting to be involved in worship team and just having the ability to sing and worship and practice at home with music by myself rather than the radio or CDs or music that other people make.
Yeah.
Just worship.
That's great. So now that you are on the worship team, do you ever play the guitar?
No.
No, that's for at home.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Oh, good on you. Well, so just so everyone knows, we know each other because our kids go to the same school on the Sunshine Coast. And we were actually introduced through another school mum friend, Kalinda. Shout out to Kalinda. We love
Kalinda.
You. Hi. And we just kind of sort of clicked, didn't we? And I remember one day after gymnastics, we were sitting down watching our kids playing and you were kind enough to share with me some of your journey. And I thought that's so That's really interesting. I really want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
You are a single mum, and I want to talk to you about what that's like, the challenges, how you do it, how God helps you, and any encouragement and advice that you have for other single mums. But first, I want to hear about how you came to know Jesus.
Yes. So I was actually raised in a Christian home. My parents are very strong Christians. And when I was born, I was third in my family and the youngest. So I grew up surrounded by Christian community and that second family that you have being a part of a Christian church. And I loved my childhood. It was awesome. And all the church camps and things like that. When I was a teenager and going through high school, I was going through some things and got very, very angry. And I was kind of like, you know, when you look back and you think about emo kids and the hardcore music and black mascara, lipstick, yeah, that was me.
Okay, can I interrupt for a moment? Because like right now you're wearing this really brightly colored floral pretty dress. I would never guess.
But I was very angry, and I wasn't turning to my parents or the support that I should have been. I was turning to my friends at school and just went completely off track from everything that I had learned since I was a child. And I started working when I was 15. I left home when I was 17. And that was kind of the point that I completely turned my back on everything to do with God and my parents as well. So that was really hard for everybody in that situation. And then I was just kind of in a partying loop lifestyle where I was working all week and then partying all weekend. And I unfortunately wasted a lot of time doing that for my late teens into early 20s. When I was 23, I met a man at work. And I was kind of like this, because I'd grown up in a small country town, I was like a country girl, but working in the city. And he was very, very suave and very, just a businessman. And I was definitely swept off my feet by what he showed me was love and what could possibly come from having a relationship with him. So we ended up dating, and we were dating for 5 years. During that time, our relationship wasn't amazing at all. It was very rocky, and there are a lot of times when I reflect now that I can see that I had put myself in situations that could have been dangerous, and I was not. I always say that I tried to stay true to my values as a Christian in my heart, but the way that I was living wasn't right, and the man that I was falling in love with wasn't right either. So yeah, our relationship was very broken. We broke up for a little while, but when we got back together, it only took him 6 months and we got married. It kind of just swept me off my feet again. So we got married, five years into dating. And then before our first wedding anniversary, we had our little girl.
Savannah.
She's a precious little gem.
She is. She's a light.
Yeah, she is. She's very outgoing and bubbly and confident.
I was drawn to her immediately as soon as I met her.
Yeah. She likes to go and talk to people no matter where she is and make sure that, I don't know, she's a bit like me in that respect. She can see when people aren't connecting and she wants to help them to feel a part of something.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool about
her.
Yeah,
that is.
So when she was a baby, she was 14 months old. She actually had some burns, and that was a part of my journey back to God. So when she was burnt, I was at home with her, and it was the day before Australia Day, and I still remember everything, every little instant, everything that happened along that moment. By moment, I could tell you, but I won't right now.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't. Tell us what happened. How did she get burned?
So I was in the kitchen with her, and we had like a kitchen with a bench in the middle and the stovetop and everything behind us. And I had been cooking custard on the stove, and I put it into plastic bowls to cool. And it was sitting on the bench, back from the edge of the bench, but enough for a little child who's inquisitive, who likes to put her hands up, to put her hands up and pull it onto herself. So she had, scalding, like custard stuck to her skin. It was the worst thing I've ever gone through, honestly.
Yeah.
And it was all up her hand and up her arm and on her face and her ear and her shoulder. So all I did was scooped her up and went into the shower and I just prayed straight away, God, I need you. And if we need you, my daughter needs you, please heal my baby.
Yeah.
And then I chucked her in the car and we went to hospital.
Yeah.
So that was the start of the first time that I'd said, God, I need you in so long. So even though it was something that was so horrific, it was the start of something good. And reaching out to people to pray for her. Sorry.
It's all right.
I said I'm not going to cry.
You can cry. That's fine.
Sorry.
That's fine. Let me get the tissues.
Sorry.
See, it's a very full box, so.
That's good. Thank you.
So you reached out to people to pray.
Yes, reaching out to people to pray for her and going through appointments and hospital visits. And at one point they were talking about having to do skin regrowths. That's how severe it was.
Wow, on her shoulder? Where was the most severe damage?
Yeah, on
damage.
Her shoulder.
Yeah.
And you can look at her today and not know a single thing happened to her, which is only God.
Yeah.
So that's something that she will tell certain people when she feels comfortable enough to, because she knows that it was only God that healed her.
Yeah.
And that's part of her testimony as well, that God's always had his hand on her too. So,
yeah,
real miracle.
Wow.
She is a miracle.
So how long was the healing journey for her?
So we went through hospital appointments at the Children's Hospital in Brisbane on and off for 8 months. And she wasn't allowed in the sun outside for maybe 6 months, just while everything was regenerating and healing. And every time we went to the hospital for appointments and they had to clean wounds and redress, it was pure agony. Absolutely horrible, horrible, horrible. She just handled it like a trooper, and I'm so grateful as well that it's something that she'll never remember.
Yeah, good.
And she doesn't. She has no idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a real good thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But part of the downside of going through that as well was that put another big wedge in my relationship with my husband. So I was trying to forgive myself while he was also saying he couldn't forgive me.
Oh, ouch.
So that was when you're a mom.
Yeah. You already have that. You have guilt over even the smallest of things.
Yes.
So let alone an accident.
Yes.
It could have happened to anyone though.
Yes. And accidents happen.
They really do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So how did your relationship with God grow during this time when you were struggling with feelings of guilt and blame for this accident?
I started reading my Bible again and just reconnected with the Word and relying on Him to get me through how I was feeling, and wanting to go back to church and praying for Christian friends. And I did actually meet a few women. One of them lived in my estate, and I just happened to meet her at the park. So forming a friendship with a Christian mom, and then also going to start a play group at a Baptist church and connecting with another amazing Christian mom there and having that support of faith-filled women around me. Yeah. So it was really helpful. It did take me 2 years, I think, just about, something like that, a year and a half, 2 years, to ask my husband if I could go to church, because I was really fearful of what he would say and how he would react, because he was very anti-God and anti anything to do with the church. But then when I did ask, it was just an arrangement that was made that I would go when he wasn't home. And because he was a shift worker, it was like we had 4 weeks on at church and then we'd have 4 weeks at home. So for me, in wanting to reconnect with church but also honor my marriage, that was good enough for me at that time.
Yeah.
And at that time as well, our second baby came along, which is Peyton. And he's six. So when he was a baby, we were going back to church, and I made that choice to rededicate my life to God, which is absolutely amazing. And being a part of a church community again and having connection and just walking into a church meeting and worship and just feeling the presence of God and being overwhelmed and so emotional. Yeah. Every single time I went to church, I'd be bawling my eyes out like a baby. But, yeah, it was exactly what I needed.
Mm.
Yeah. Around that time, just going forward and attending church and wanting to be more involved in things that the church was doing, that was when it started to impact more on my relationship with my husband. And I remember inviting him to something, because not because I was trying to push it on him, but because it was something I thought he'd genuinely be interested in. And it bothered him so much that he was awake all night and waking me up to argue about it. And that was kind of the moment that I had to draw a line to not try and talk to him about anything to do with God. And then going forward from that, he would try and bring it up with me to fight with me about it. So it would get to the point of me standing my ground, even though he's telling me that I have no mental sense and no brain because I'm choosing to believe in the Bible, but me standing my ground and sometimes even physically standing in front of him shaking because I know that I'm right. Just having the Holy Spirit's strength to be able to stand on that. But yes, it did cause a lot of division, and me trying to find that line of not being disrespectful to him, but knowing that my loyalty is also with God first and foremost. But it snowballed very quickly, and it got to the point where it wasn't safe for me to be there, and I wasn't accepting what I was going through as my children were seeing this. And I didn't want them to think that that was normal, in life or in relationships, or that that would be something that further down the track that they would accept for themselves in their own relationships, or that they would treat anybody else like that. So I left with Savannah as a toddler and Peyton as a baby. It took a couple of months to try and figure out what we would do going forward, because I guess I wasn't sure if it would be permanent, and he probably didn't really know what was going on either. So I was giving him time to prove if our marriage was something that was worth saving to him. And I knew that I was giving all that I could, and I can say 100% that I gave my marriage every shot that I could. And yeah, I wouldn't have been able to stay there as long as I did without God being with me and keeping me safe, and I know that, and keeping me strong spiritually and emotionally, and being able to parent my kids under those circumstances as well, and removing them at times when it wasn't suitable for them to be there. Like, God made up for everything then in that mess that we were in. So that was just amazing that he had his hand on that whole situation too. When I left, because I'd been so secluded in my relationship from everybody in my life, I didn't have any support or people that I could go to be with. So my best option was to be with my parents, but because they were interstate, going away that far was not favorable to the courts or the whole system to do with families and relationships and allowing the kids to have beneficial time with their dad. But also because of the circumstance of us leaving, there was police involved and all the DVO court and that side of it as well. So going through courts and police and family court is incredibly messy and painful, and real. It takes you to breaking point, absolute breaking point. But knowing that when you've done all that you can in your human self, and knowing that you've got people praying for you and that you go into it with God fighting for you, you can feel peace, which is crazy, but it's true. Even amongst all of the chaos that you feel or see around you, you can still feel peace. Yeah, so
that's right.
Yeah, that was really having God with me through that too. I couldn't have done that without him.
Yeah.
During that time as well, I'd connected with a really good church where we had relocated to, and we had really good support with our village and in the church and also in the community. So there were times when like I had to buy tires for my car and people were just giving into us even though they didn't really know us.
Wow.
Or meals would come and clothes would be given for the kids. Like the community and the village that we had there was such a big support, such a big help.
Yeah.
Going forward, a few years of being down there and being by myself for a year, a couple of years, being connected in a good church, I made that choice to be baptized, which was a big and had just started praying for a husband because I'd gone through the separation and I thought that I was healed and that God had an amazing man of God to come and be a part of my family to lead me and my kids. And I met a man at church and I thought he was the one. It's pretty funny when you start praying and all of a sudden it happens and you think, oh Lord, that's so good, but it definitely wasn't that way at all. And I ended up in a relationship with a man that I was trying to put strong boundaries with, and we were worshiping and watching sermons and being very careful about our behaviors, and I'd kept him away from my kids because I didn't want to cross that bridge yet either. But because being a single mom as well with time at night by yourself, the times that we were hanging out most was at night. So then you have a whole open door of temptation that you should not ever open or put yourself in that position with. But unfortunately, that is what I did. And I ended up falling into sin with this man. And I went through a really severe brokenness after that as well. And being broken before, after everything I've been through in my marriage, was so different because I'd come to God during my marriage and known that everything that I'd done before was before I had God's grace and before I knew his love. But this time I'd gone into sin knowing that he loved me and that I'd given myself to him. So I went into a big depression and I couldn't forgive myself for hurting Jesus all over again. And I was in a really dark place in a really big hole, and it actually, my nana wrote me a letter. Sorry.
Your nana wrote you a letter?
Yes, she did. She wrote me a letter and she said that if I wasn't forgiving myself, I was blocking Jesus's forgiveness. Wow. I was disregarding what he'd done for me on the cross. So that was the start of my wake-up call.
Okay, can I just say right now, nana... Wow.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah,
incredibly so. And I was so, like, I was so sick and I wouldn't go out and I was sleeping all the time. Like, I was so deep in a hole. But then I remembered, thank you, Nana. And it was just all Jesus picking me up again.
Hmm.
And just, like, my relationship went from Jesus is my heavenly Father and the whole new understanding that I learned from him from coming back to God to now Jesus is my best friend, because I wasn't talking to him about what I was feeling, because how could I tell Jesus that I was tempted? But if I had have just spoken to him, he would have given me strength, because in, like the scriptures say, in our weakness he is strong. So having that relationship with him as my friend and being open to him and talking to him about how I was feeling is the only way to get through everything that you need to get through, because he's the only one that can help you through.
Yeah.
And then I found out I was pregnant. So cue another turnaround of brokenness and not depression, but just real shame and not knowing how to face it, because I'd just been pulled, like God had pulled me out of everything that I'd gone through in my marriage, and he'd restored me and I'd gotten back on my feet after leaving with nothing, with two kids, to have a home, to be able to support us. And now I was going to bring another baby with a different person into our situation. So I remember praying to God saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm sorry, but how can I do this? And I felt the Holy Spirit assure me that I don't make mistakes. So I had to once again just pick myself up and just have a different trust in knowing that no matter what my situation was, what I could see in the now, that in the future it would be something good. Mm-hmm. And trusting that God sees everything, not just now, not just 5 years, but He sees everything. So there is a purpose for what I'm going through. There's a purpose for this little person that's going to be born, and it's going to be amazing. So
that's right.
And that's where little 3-year-old Judah comes in.
And tell us what Judah, his name means.
Yes. So Judah has a pretty cool name, actually. He has Judah, which means praise, because this story, his story and my story, will be for praising God. His life will be about praising God.
Yeah.
I let my older two pick 2 middle names for him. Yeah. I don't think I've told you that, Mel.
No.
No. So Peyton wanted Lightning McQueen, and I said, no way.
We'll have a dog and you can name it that.
Yes. But I gave him a list of names, and he picked Ari, which it means, so in Hebrew it means lion, and in German it means eagle. Mm. And Savannah picked Nathan, which is from the Bible, and his meaning of the name, or his lesson from his life in the Bible, is a gift from God. Wow. And being a good friend. So he has a very specific, intentional name.
Wow.
And he has I do feel that there's a calling on his life to do some pretty cool things for God in the future.
Wow. So he's got 2 middle names.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And we were just chatting about our boys before we press record, and you were saying that he is just so musical.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
He did grow in my womb with a guitar next to him. Yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
wow.
No, he just loves music through and through. So after going through all of that situation, and also in the background I had family court finalizing, so not knowing where we were going to be, and ultimately not feeling ready to leave my parents, but just trusting that God would have a good plan. And when the outcome was that we were to relocate closer, just figuring out where that would be, where would be a safe space for us, where I would feel comfortable, but also to allow the kids, Savannah and Peyton, to have a good relationship with their God and with their dad, And
can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Were you still in a relationship with this guy that you met at church, with Judah's dad, or how did that end?
So I actually found out that he was seeing someone else.
Oh, was that before you found out you were pregnant?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was very confronting.
Yeah.
But, yeah. In the long term, knowing that God was saving me from potential hurt and possibly even going through the same cycle that I'd already been through.
Yeah.
So even though it didn't end great with him, just, knowing that God's grace was with me and that I have a beautiful little blessing.
Yeah.
Which is Judah.
Did you ever feel judged by people in the church?
Yeah, no idea. Yes.
Yes.
So much so.
Yeah.
I've had so many different reactions from so many people. I've had people cry with me. I've had people tell me that I've just ruined my life.
Ugh.
I've had people hop up and walk away.
Wow.
But, you know, that's something else that I've also had to learn, that sin is sin. See, growing up for me in a Christian setting as a young person, however many years ago that was now, to me sexual sin was seen as so terrible, and it is terrible, but all sin is terrible. Mm. And you can't say that one is worse than the other, and Jesus never says that one is worse than the other. So just knowing that in how other people have treated me as well, I've learned not to judge people, and to have understanding that everybody's circumstance is different.
Mm-hmm.
And just to know that there is no shame in Jesus.
Yeah.
So having that courage to walk my story.
Yeah.
Knowing that it doesn't matter what other people think. If I've brought it to Jesus, and I've repented, not just had his grace to keep sinning, but to use his grace to repent and turn from it and just leave it with him and not keep taking it back, which is sometimes easier said than done, because you are your worst critic and you do reflect, but just knowing that Jesus has taken that and walking forward victoriously, just knowing that you are who he says you are, not what everybody else thinks.
Yeah. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
When I found out I was pregnant, that had been the scripture that had been on my heart since then, was Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him.
And are called according to his purposes.
Yes. Yeah. Just trusting in that, knowing that he will work all things to good, whether it's a mess that I created or a mess that was out of my control. When you love him and you submit to him and you purposefully choose that all the time, he will cause things to work for good.
Amen.
One way or another.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, Naomi. So good. And that other scripture was Romans 8 verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my goodness, his grace.
Yes.
Isn't he amazing?
Yes.
So amazing.
Yes.
So now let's talk, let's go into a different direction now. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about being a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
You're now living on the Sunshine Coast. Mm-hmm. You are really well established in a community of believers, like in your church.
Yes.
And I know that you've got some really good friends around you and great pastors.
Yes.
And do you have your parents? Are you guys are like co-living together?
Yes, yeah. We are.
That's what I thought, which is really handy for tonight.
Yeah, it is.
with your sleeping baby at home.
Yeah.
So living the life of a single mom,
mm-hmm.
what are some of those challenges that you find?
That there's only one me.
Yes.
That would be one of the biggest things, whether it's bath time or kids' birthdays, parties or sporting events, different things that they want to be a part of. Sometimes they want to go in opposite directions. And also if one's misbehaving and the other one isn't, trying to manage the situation that you've got in front of you in different ways. Yeah, just having to be flexible, having to learn to say yes to help when you really need it, and learning to say no to some things and to let some things go, and picking your battles, definitely, which I guess is just mum, being a mum as a whole, hey, not just particularly single, being single.
Yeah.
What
did you mean by letting some things go?
So I like to say yes to everything.
You're a real giver, aren't you?
I like trying things and I like being obedient to what other people, like seniors of the church or people around me, might think I could be good at or that I have a gifting or ability in. So learning to prioritize my children, because they are top priority, it is sometimes challenging, because you want to be a part of things and you want to be serving God. But knowing that at the end of the day, serving your kids is serving God, because that's where he put you. So putting them first and learning that it's okay to say no to some other things. Being single at things is also challenging sometimes. Having to take your kids with you everywhere is challenging sometimes. The other thing is you can feel sometimes like you're not as included as, say,
I think you'll like refer to me.
As husbands and wives and families, like sometimes single parents don't get invited for dinner or things like that, because I'm not even sure what it is. But you're just kind of sometimes left out of things like that. But it's I don't think it's any I don't know. Sometimes it just messes with you mentally. So just assuring yourself that it's okay, and making sure that you're connecting with the right people. Sleep deprivation is another one.
Okay.
And when you're sick, it's really hard, but I am blessed that my parents are there, and having a good church network and support around us, it does take a village. So it's good to have, like, it's a blessing to have that support.
So good. Do you think it's humbling as well? Like, you couldn't have a proud heart.
Definitely not. And I tried that at the start. I remember when I first got here and I was halfway through my pregnancy and I was trying to set up a home and I didn't know anybody and Savannah was starting school and it was all very hard. But just choosing to rely on those that were offering help when I really needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is humbling.
How do you feel like God has been helping you along with this journey of motherhood?
So much. I would not be able to do it without him. I crave time with God, whether it's in the word or worship or prayer, like filling that part of your cup needs to be a priority. But also learning that sometimes it's quality, not quantity. Mm-hmm. Some days you might have an hour to sit with him. Sometimes it might be 5 minutes, but just making sure that that is something that you keep doing and seeing even in myself the difference that that makes on the days when I haven't been able to before it's school rush or just knowing that my patience is so much better and my parenting so much better. Trusting him for provision as well when you need to, because he always provides for what makes up for things that are lacking.
Yeah.
If you feel in your home, like I do sometimes, like I don't have a man in my home, Lord, what am I going to do without a man? But knowing and trusting that he'll make up for the things that I'm not able to do.
Yeah.
And even emotionally for the kids, just knowing that as they grow in their relationship with him, that he'll be their heavenly father and also their father in their hearts and their father figure.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
That's so good. You just reminded me of the scripture that says, those who hope in him lack no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look that up. Mm-hmm. Psalm 34, verse 10, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Psalm 68, verse 5 says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling.
Yeah, he's definitely more than able to make up for where we lack, isn't he?
Yes.
And God's grace, his hand of grace is upon us as mums to help us. Like I know in myself too that when I'm facing challenges, like difficult conversations with my now preteen and even just like strong will moments from my four-year-old, I'm often just asking Holy Spirit help. What do I do right now in this moment?
Definitely. And it is that constant prayer, even thoughts, heart moments that you just keep giving to him and keep talking to him. And he always helps you through. And just remembering as well that you are the mum that he created and that those children were created with you as their mum in mind. So you have enough with his help.
Absolutely.
To be what they need.
Yeah.
And just standing on that as well.
Yeah. And he has given us the grace for the space, I believe.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Grace for the space. What are some things that you do for yourself
that
refreshes you and just refills you? You've just mentioned that spending time in the word and spending time with God, that definitely helps to refresh you. But what are some other things that also helps you?
Sitting at the beach.
Yeah,
that's my space. That calms me down.
Yeah.
Fills me up, just the sounds and the sun. And it's a beautiful, for me, that's my chill zone is definitely the beach.
Yeah.
I do like to get my toes done
when
I can, but that doesn't happen very regularly, but it's still nice when it happens.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I like drinking hot coffee when I can.
Yes. What's your go-to drink?
I like lattes.
Yeah.
Vanilla latte with oat milk.
Nice. I'm an oat milk girl too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Have you tried making it at home with oat milk though?
Yes. I do.
You have to tell me what oat milk you use.
Yes. It's called Australia's Own, I think. That's the one that I like.
Uh-huh.
But my sister tried it and she doesn't like it. She's got like... a brand. Mum, do you remember the brand that Jess likes? No. Okay. I'll text it to you. But it's the same one that they use at the cafes. Yeah, I think it's called Alternative Milk Co.
Okay.
I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
I only discovered oat milk recently, but it's so nice.
It is really good, really isn't creamy. It? Yeah. So I kind of like alternate between soy and oat milk when I'm at the cafes.
Mm.
Yeah. But I can't do that for like an iced latte. I've got to do the cascade for the iced latte.
Oh, I had Zarafa's.
Yeah. With oat milk.
Latte with oat milk, and that was really good.
Oh. Yeah,
I was surprised.
Did they have ice cream in it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, just an iced latte with oat milk.
All right. I suppose with the right amount of sugar.
Oh, actually, it had vanilla in it.
Yeah, there we go. It would make up for it.
Vanilla.
Yeah, that would be why. Yum. I do like a good iced coffee from Zarafa's, I must say.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Back to on topic. Do you have any tips or words of encouragement that you would give to single mums?
Be kind to yourself. Yeah, that would be the top thing. It's okay to have moments that are hard, but acknowledge that and move forward, keep moving forward. Yeah. And just know that, yeah, that you can do it. And take it a day at a time, sometimes a moment at a time. Finding that balance can be tricky, and it comes and goes with the seasons of schooling or emotions. Like, yeah, there's always something that's impacting on how you're feeling in your parenting and in being single. But yeah, be kind to yourself. Learning to accept help is, yes, as we were just saying, is a good way to learn to be a part of a village and learn to connect and know that there are people out there that can support you and that want to support you. And that's the other thing with accepting help, is that you're allowing other people to do something that they really like to do. Even that's if right. You don't really want to say yes, sometimes it's good to say yes.
For them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Blessed to be a blessing, hey?
Yeah.
Just try and find other parents that are understanding, or single parents that you can connect with and have the similar situation or similar knowledge of what you're going through. And make sure that you don't feel guilty about making time for yourself, and just know that when you're filling your cup, that's a good way to be able to keep giving to your kids. Some people get mum guilt, but it's important to have that time to refill yourself as well, even if it is just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to have that mental.
Do you have like a short list of people that you would ask to watch your kids for you?
Yes. Yes. Very short.
Yeah, very short. Yeah. Has it got at least 3 people in it?
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm very blessed to have my parents there, that's for sure. And I know that they will watch my kids at the drop of a hat.
That's great.
But yes, there are others as well that
I've
been very grateful to come into contact with.
Yeah.
But you're not alone. Yeah. Some people feel alone, but you're not alone. And just knowing that, for me being a Christian, that makes all the difference. I could not imagine walking this journey without Jesus. So,
absolutely. Yeah. What would you say to someone listening who feels like they have messed up?
Mm.
Perhaps they feel like they've ruined their life, they've made a mistake, and they're just really struggling with that feeling of guilt because they've disobeyed God. What would you say to them?
You are not that powerful. I'm sorry, beautiful friend, but you are not that powerful. God, when you come to that place where you really bring it all to God's feet and humbly come before Him and ask for forgiveness and turn your back on whatever the behavior was or whatever you were going through, and just trusting in His grace and in His strength and building on your relationship with Him, trusting that it will all work out for good. Favorite scripture there again.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Naomi, for taking the time to sit with us and share with us your story. So appreciate it. Would you please pray for our listeners?
Definitely. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I just firstly want to say thank you, Lord God, for your grace that covers all sins, covers a multitude of sins, Lord, that nothing is impossible in your name. So Lord God, no matter what somebody has been through, I thank you, Lord, that when they humbly come before you, that your grace covers all sins. So Lord God, I pray for any mom, Lord God, I pray that is struggling with unforgiveness at herself. Lord God, I just pray that you will tenderly speak to her heart. Lord Jesus, remind her of your love for her, and that nothing is too great for you to cover. And Lord God, I just pray for any mum that is feeling burdened with what she's walking through. Lord God, I pray that you would supernaturally give her strength and peace in her situation, no matter what it is. Lord God, I pray for the mum that's feeling like she's alone. Lord God, I just pray that you will connect her with the right community, whether it's in a church or a play group. Lord Jesus, that she would just have friends that would come around her to support and love her. Lord, I pray for any mom that is feeling like they've lost their patience today. Lord God, I just pray that you would remind them that just to take it moment by moment and take a deep breath and to keep looking to you for your strength. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the walk that you've taken me through and that it gives me this opportunity to share all things for your glory and for all that you've done for me. And I thank you, Lord, that your love covers all sins. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on Mel and this amazing podcast that she has. Lord God, that it would continue to reach those that need to hear it, to encourage them to reach out to you. And we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you know somebody who would really benefit from listening to this episode, then click on the share button and send them a link. If you want to get in touch for any reason, DM me on Instagram at Mel_Lyman. Talk to you soon.